DW.
In one of Saskatoon's coffee shops, like in most takeaway coffee places, the deli counter offers an overabundance of cakes, sandwiches and donuts. Amit Bhattacharai, a visitor from New Delhi, India, is getting a wrap on the go.
We do have wraps in India. We have a lot of rolls with chapatis, you know, the wheat chapati. Yeah, lots of rolls with meat and veggies, and some of it would look quite the same, actually. And it would taste very, very different, a lot more spicier.
The Canadian wraps may taste different to Indian chapatis, but the main ingredient is the same, wheat flour. Wheat products make up a fifth of all the calories consumed worldwide, and the crop is grown commercially on more land area than any other. But with the global population projected to grow from 7 billion to some 10 billion people by 2050, a recent study by the World Resources Institute predicts that by then, farmers will need to produce twice as much food to meet demand. Tim Searchinger from the World Resources Institute authored the report.
The report is essentially, how do you feed the world without destroying the world? Basic challenge is we need to produce 50% more food by 2050. We need to do that without expanding agricultural land, and we need to do that while reducing agricultural greenhouse gas emissions by two-thirds.
Increased yield will have to be produced without clearing more land for agriculture, because feeding 10 billion people without destroying the planet also means reducing expected greenhouse gas emissions by 11 gigatons, in line with the Paris Agreement.
Well, because in addition to the habitat that loses and all the impacts on biodiversity, when you convert land, you also release greenhouse gas emissions. You release carbon dioxide. And virtually every strategy for solving climate change requires not only that we no longer lose any more forests, no longer convert more land, but that we actually restore forests from agricultural land, that we reduce our agricultural land area.
Wheat thrives in regions with average temperatures of 15 degrees Celsius, with cool, moist spring months and warm and dry days in summer as the crops ripen, like the Canadian heartland or the Ethiopian highlands. As the planet heats up, wheat crops will struggle with higher temperatures, droughts and more unstable conditions. Senthold Aseng is a crop modeller and director of the Florida Climate Institute. He uses mathematical equations to determine how crops will grow, taking into account soil conditions, farming methods and how breeders modify a crop.
If you do an experiment in a field, it takes at least half a year. The same experiments on a computer image takes 1 or 2 seconds. So we can do many experiments across many years, many more years than you can do in the field, but also across many more locations in the field. We do now experiments for wheat in every location where wheat is grown in the world.
Every increase in global temperature will have dire effects on food security. Scientists estimate that over the next few decades, wheat farmers in different parts of the world will have stark differences in yields. Traditional wheat producers like Canada and Russia could have higher yields, and parts of Finland, which is currently too cold, could soon be warm enough to produce cereals. At the same time, countries in West Africa and South Asia are likely to experience the biggest declines in crop yields.
For wheat, it turns out, just due to temperature that we will lose per degree global temperature change 6% of wheat production. That's quite a lot.
Dr. Andrew Sharp from the National Food Council of Canada is a genomics expert at the University of Saskatoon. He was co-lead on a study that sequenced the genome of wheat, a major milestone in wheat breeding research that took more than 10 years of collaborative research. 10 years because the wheat genome is huge. The human genome contains 3 billion DNA letters. Bread wheat has 16 billion.
But it's the nature of the genome. It's large. It's about five times the size of the human genome. It's actually three individual genomes, related grass genomes, that have come together. And that's what wheat is. It's a combination of different species.
Thanks to the sequence, scientists can essentially now customise wheat varieties to make wheat more resistant to environmental stress, such as temperature changes and droughts. Wheat DNA can be manipulated to have longer root systems, for example, which could help the crop cope better with heat and even drought. The gene editing technology CRISPR-Cas9 was developed to do just that. It enables scientists to add genes to a wheat variety from the same species. Unlike genetic modification, which manipulates crops by adding genes from foreign species. Dr. Sharp and his team are now identifying the right wheat genes to add.
we have that order of genes, but we are not sure what all those genes do. In fact, most of the genes, we don't know what they do. So that's where we need to associate the genes, those genes with that don't have a known function, with influencing particular traits, be that disease resistance, be it resistance to drought stress or heat stress, for example. So this is where we need experiments now to look for variation between different wheat varieties for those different traits.
It's not yet clear how big a role this technology, with the new crops it produces, can play in feeding the world in the future. Consumers are growing more accepting of genetic modification. According to a special Eurobarometer survey on food safety published in June, just 27% of people are concerned about GM products, down from 66% in 2010. GM foods currently available on the international market have passed safety assessments, ensuring they're not likely to present risks for human health, according to the World Health Organization. But consumers remain wary of genetic modification because it involves introducing foreign genes into an organism, like an anti-browning agent into an apple. With gene editing, genes from the same species are used to essentially customize wheat varieties. But the EU has banned gene-edited crops and called for them to be regulated by the same strict regulations as conventional genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. In North America too, opinions about genetic modification to crops are divided. For farmers like the Riggs family in Saskatchewan, crops that can deal with changing climates will be vital. The Riggs have grown wheat here for more than a century.
We have two combines, but one is bigger. This is the big one. And then this is our tractor, the first tractor on the farm, which we haven't started for a couple of years.
How long have you had this one?
Well, see, it's 1942. My dad drove it home from Elstow.
Bob Riggs's grandfather started the farm in 1904 in the town of Elstow. Today, the family grow four types of wheat on 200,000 hectares, and they believe scientific developments could be the way forward for the farm.
I think it's our only hope, actually, is to use the technology that's available, and gene editing being one of them, and things that we don't even know about yet. I'm okay with it, as long as it's properly tested, and I'm okay with it, yeah. I think it's maybe our only hope to feed all these people in the world. We need to do something.
In the fields flanking the road leading to Riggs Farm, the young wheat is still green, barely thigh high. It will be ready to harvest in a month. Bob will know his crop is ripe when plants turn from green to golden yellow in colour and the soft green milky kernels become hard and golden. Here in Canada's Bread Bowl, being a farmer has never been easy, and it's likely to get more difficult in the future. With huge pressure on resources to feed a growing population, cereal farmers like Bob Riggs find themselves at the heart of the conversation about agricultural biodiversity and global food security.
I am a little pessimistic, yes I am. Well, the biggest worry is that such a huge world population, and we're using a lot. I don't think we can back off. I don't think we can reduce it very easily. More and more of us, and we're using more and more of fossil fuels. So I think it's going to be very difficult to change.
Whatever the next few years will bring, Bob says it seems hard to imagine a future where the family wouldn't grow wheat. For DW, Emmanuel Landais in Saskatoon. DW.